Alright, let's build a warehouse jungle effects chain in Ableton Live 12, and we're going to do it the right way, dark, controlled, and arranged like it actually belongs in a proper DNB tune. The goal here is not just to make random cool sounds. We want a repeatable system for tension, impact, movement, and release. In a breakbeat-led track, effects are not just decoration, they are arrangement glue. They help the listener feel the bar changes, the drop points, the switch-ups, and the energy reset without stepping on the brake or muddying the sub. So think less sound effect and more structural tool. First, create a new audio track and name it WHFX. Then group it into an audio effect rack. Inside that rack, build three chains and label them Impact, Atmos, and Motion. That simple setup is already a huge win, because now you've got three different effects roles ready to go without constantly duplicating tracks or losing track of what's doing what. That kind of separation matters in fast music, in jungle and rollers. You do not want to be hunting through a pile of random processing while the groove is moving. You want fast decisions, clean organization, and obvious roles. Now let's talk source material, because the best warehouse effects usually do not start from pristine synth presets. Start with something that already has a bit of character. That could be a chopped break hit, a stretched snare, a room tone, a metal scrape, a restab bounce to audio, or even a white noise burst from operator or analog. Drag that source into either the Atmos or Motion chain, and if it needs warping, do it there. For textures, Complex Pro is usually the move. For break fragments, Beats can be really useful. If the source is tonal, try detuning it a few semitones down so it gets darker and heavier. In this style, darkness is often more about weight and density than about just lowering the pitch, but that's a great start. And here's a pro move. Keep your clip gain under control from the beginning. Leave headroom. Warehouse effects can stack up fast, and if you start too hot, you'll end up fighting clipping later when you try to layer throws, tails, and resamples. Now let's build the impact chain. Put these devices in this order: EQ8, saturator, drum bus, corpus, utility. Start with EQ8 and high pass the signal somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. That keeps the sub region clear for the kick and bass. If the hit is supposed to have some low punch, you can let a little more through, but be careful. In this genre, low end space is sacred. Next, use saturator. Add a little drive, maybe plus 3 to plus 8 dB, and turn on soft clip if needed. This gives the impact some extra harmonics and makes it feel more alive. Then add drum bus if the material can handle it. Keep the drive moderate, push the transients a bit if you want more smack, and keep the boom very low or off unless you specifically want that kind of low hit. Then add corpus. This is where the warehouse flavor really starts to show up. Try tube or string mode and tune it subtly. You're not trying to make it sound like a synth bass. You're trying to give the hit a metallic, industrial body, like it's bouncing off concrete and steel. Finish with utility. Use it to keep the hit mono if it needs to stay centered, or widen it a bit if it's part of a bigger transitional moment. But for actual drop point slams, center stability usually wins. This chain is perfect for drop hits, fill-end punches, reverse down moments into a snare or kick, and metallic accents sitting behind a break edit. If the sound feels too polite, drive it harder into saturator before corpus. That gets the resonance excited and gives the effect more grime. Next is the Atmos chain, which is all about space, fog, and distant pressure. Set it up as auto filter, echo, reverb, EQ8, utility. Start with auto filter and keep the source filtered so it doesn't fill up the low end. Depending on the sound, you might high pass or band pass it somewhere around 150 Hz up to around 1.2 kHz. The idea is to make it feel distant and atmospheric, not full range and in your face. Then add echo. Keep the timing synced to the track and try values like 1/8, 1/4, or dotted 1/8. Feedback around 15-45% is usually enough to create space without turning the track into a mess. Also filter the repeats so the delay doesn't clutter the high end or crowd the break. After that, add reverb. Use a decay somewhere around 1.5 to 4.5 seconds, depending on how big you want the room to feel. A medium or large size works well here, but keep the low cut active so the reverb doesn't fog up the mix. This is crucial in dark D&B, because if the reverb gets too broad, it starts fighting the ghost notes and the upper harmonics of the bass. Then use EQ8 to clean up mud around 200 to 500 Hz and tame any harshness in the 3 to 7 kHz range. Finally, use utility to manage width. If the bass and drums are already dense, keep this narrower. If the break is more centered and you've got room to breathe, you can open it up a bit more. This chain is ideal for intros, breakdowns, transition tails, and those last snare moments at the end of an 8-bar or 16-bar section. It gives you that warehouse room feeling without blurring the groove. Now for the motion chain. This is the engine that makes the arrangement feel alive. Use auto filter, echo, saturator, and EQ8. This chain is designed for automation, so think of it as your movement lane. You can use it for reverse risers, noise sweeps, percussion loops that need shape, or stab tails that pull the listener into the next phrase. Automate the auto filter cutoff over a range like 200 Hz up to 8 to 12 kHz across half a bar, 1 bar, 2 bars, or even 4 bars depending on the phrase. You want the movement to match the energy of the section. Use resonance carefully, enough to bring focus, not so much that it starts squealing or dominating the mix. Then automate echo feedback, especially at phrase ends. You might move it from 10% up to 45% right before a drop, then pull it back immediately after. That short spike creates tension without leaving the track washed out. Saturator drive can also move a little during the build. A small lift can make the transition feel more urgent. Then you back it off when the drums and sub land. If you want to work fast, map auto filter frequency and echo feedback to macro knobs on the rack. That way you can perform the build up live, record that movement, and then refine it afterward. This is one of those things that makes the rack feel less like a static effect chain and more like an instrument. And that's the mindset you want. Treat the FX rack like a performance tool, not a set and forget insert. Now let's place these FX in the arrangement the way a jungle tune actually breathes. Think in phrases. 4 bars, 8 bars, 16 bars. The breakbeat is usually doing a lot of the emotional work, so your FX should support the structure, not smear all over it. A strong layout might look like this. The first 8 bars are DJ-friendly and relatively stripped back, with filtered atmospheres and minimal movement. Then the next 8 bars introduce the break with small FX tails at phrase endings. After that, the bass comes in and the motion FX start rising into the second half. Then you hit a switch up with a fill, a reverse hit, and clear impact at the next big phrase point. That kind of arrangement makes the tune feel intentional and navigable. Place key FX on the last eighth note or quarter note, before a drop, on the last snare of a phrase, on the pickup into a break edit, or on the first beat after a bass switch. Those are the moments where FX do the most work. They are signposts. They tell the listener where they are in the track. And here's a really important rule: do not let a giant reverb wash ruin a tight break edit unless you want that exact blur. In jungle, the break is often the character. FX should frame it like a camera lens, not cover it like fog. Now let's make the session usable and fast to work in. Color code your clips by function: red for impacts, blue for atmospheres, purple for motion and risers, orange for fills and ear candy. Then rename them clearly: impact 16 bar drop, reverse into snare, warehouse fog intro, snare tail offbeat, noise lift 8 bars. That might sound like small stuff, but in a busy DNB project, organization is power. If you can see your structure at a glance, you can finish tracks faster and make better decisions under pressure. Also, group the FX regions by section so the full arrangement reads cleanly. You should be able to mute or swap an FX lane in seconds. No digging through chaos. Now for automation, because that's what makes the whole thing feel expensive and alive. Use restraint. In this style, more automation is not automatically better. One or two strong moves per section usually hit harder than sweeping everything everywhere. For example, let reverb dry slash wet rise only in the last half bar or bar before a transition. Make echo feedback spike briefly on the final stab or snare. Open the filter during tension, then close it immediately after the drop. Widen the atmos and motion layers, but pull them back toward mono near the drop so the low-end punch stays focused. And if the saturation gets pushed during the build, reduce it once the drums and sub land. That contrast is what creates impact. In jungle, a huge moment often feels huge because of what happened just before it. Sometimes subtraction is the loudest move in the arrangement. A few advanced ideas can take this even further. You can duplicate the FX chain and create a corroded parallel lane with heavier saturation, shorter reverb, bandpassed echo, and slightly detuned resonance. Blend that quietly under the clean version for grit and texture without losing clarity. That's a great way to get underground character. You can also split the stereo treatment. Keep the center focused and push only the high-frequency debris wider. That keeps the low-mid punch stable while letting the top end bloom. Very useful when the track is already dense. Another strong move is a ghost response FX. That means the main hit lands, and then a quieter, more filtered response happens an eighth note later. It creates a follow-through sensation that works beautifully with chopped breaks. And don't sleep on dubby one-shot throws. Instead of leaving echo on all the time, automate it only on selected snares or stabs. That contrast makes the effect feel more intentional and more expensive. One more thing, resample your best moments. If you get a great build or transition, bounce it to audio. Audio clips are easier to arrange tightly, and once they're printed, you can slice them into new fills later. This is one of the most useful habits in advanced DNB production. So, to recap the workflow in plain terms, build 3DFX rolls, color them, keep headroom, process them with stock Ableton devices, automate only the important moments, and arrange everything around the breakbeat's phrasing. The best warehouse jungle FX chains do not feel like extra decoration. They feel like the room changing around the drums. Dark, functional, and powerful. If the listener can feel the space shift before the drop lands, you've done it right.